Good morning. Welcome to the Message of Truth. My name is Keith Greer. I'm the local minister here at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. I want to thank you for taking the time to listen to our broadcast this morning. We hope you'll become a regular listener. We would also encourage you to watch our TV program that airs following this program at 8 to 8:30 on Channel 6 of your public access station entitled Searching the Scriptures. Please give it a look. We would also encourage you to check out our website, churchofchrist@harrisburg.com. You'll find many valuable resources that will aid you in your study of God's Word. You will find all the TV programs, all our radio broadcasts. There's also an overview of every book in the Bible and other things that will help you in your study of God's Word. At the end of this broadcast, you'll be given the meeting times for our services at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. We encourage you to come and worship and study God's Word with us. You will always be warmly received. This morning, we want to continue our discussion concerning the overview of our Bibles. We have been looking at the New Testament, and we are down to the book of 2 Timothy. The book of 2 Timothy was written by the Apostle Paul to the young evangelist Timothy, and according to secular history, was probably the last book that the Apostle Paul would write prior to his death by crucifixion or beheading and in Rome. What we'd like to do this morning is give you a short overview of an outline of this book and then read some very important passages of information that we can gain from the study of 2 Timothy. First of all, in chapter 9, we see in the beginning of the book that it is preserved in present testing, starting in chapter 1, verse 1 through chapter 2 and verse 26. He first of all thanks Timothy for his faith in verses 1 through 5, and then he reminds Timothy of his responsibility in chapter 1, beginning in verse 6 through verse 18. Then we see the characteristics of a faithful minister that he goes into detail in chapter 2, verses 1 through 26. We see in this characteristics of a faithful minister, first of all, he's a discipling teacher in chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. Single-minded soldier in verses 3 through 5. Enduring farmer in verses 6 through 13, of course, talking about spiritual. And then a diligent workman in chapter number 2, verse 14 through 19. And then sanctified vessel, according to verses 20 through 23. And then a gentle servant, beginning in verse 24 to the end of the chapter, of verse 26. We see in the second part of 2 Timothy that the general category is enduring in future testing that goes from chapter 3, verse 1 to the end of chapter number 4. He breaks that down by approaching the day of apostasy in chapter 3, verses 1 through 17. He also puts that in subcategories by the coming of the apostasy in verses 1 through 9 and confronting that apostasy in verse 10 through 17. He also gives Timothy a charge to preach the word in chapter 4, verses 1 through 5. And in verses 6 through 22, we probably see the last words of the Apostle Paul as his death is approaching, and we'll discuss some of that later on. We also see that Paul had hope in death, according to verse 6 through 8. 9 through 18, Paul's situation while he is in prison, and he is in prison in Rome. And then he gives his closing and final greetings in verses 19 through 22. And so that is a short outline of the book of 2 Timothy. But let us look at some information that we can gain from a study of this book. First of all, we understand that this was written to Timothy. This genuine faith that is in you, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded it is you also. So here we see that this book is addressed to Timothy. He talks about his early teaching and instruction in the scriptures, and he believes that same steadfastness of faith that was in his mother and grandmother are also in Timothy. And then he tells him in verse number 8, therefore do not be ashamed of our testimony of the Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share with me in the suffering of the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us, called us to a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. Again, Paul reiterates that God's plan is going on schedule, the plan that he determined before the world began, and that is going to, according to his purpose and according to the grace that has been established and offered by the Son of God through the gospel of Jesus Christ. We also see in chapter 1 and verse 12, "For this reason I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep what I have committed to him until that day." We see here Paul's confidence in Christ and his confidence in the promises and the assurances that he's been given by Christ, and he is persuaded that anything that he has put into his hands, the Lord will be able to take care of. Timothy is given some instruction in verse 13, where he is told, "Hold fast to the pattern of sound words which you have heard from me, in faith and love which are in Christ Jesus." Again, holding fast to the pattern of sound words. That means he must continue to hold to that teaching that he heard from Paul and that is expressed in the faith and love of Jesus Christ. We also see in chapter number 2 of the second chapter that we see God's plan for spreading the gospel. His teaching of personal evangelism is seen in really one verse of the Bible, in 2 Timothy 2, verse 2. "And the things that you have heard among me and many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." And so we see it's a progression. One teaches one, that one teaches another one, that one teaches another one, and so forth. So that's the way that the gospel was proclaimed, and that's how it progressed in the early part and time of the church, in the latter part of the first century. He also tells them in verse 3 through 5 that he must endure hardship. He says, "Therefore, you must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlists him as a soldier. And also, if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules." And so we are in a spiritual warfare. We're at war with Satan. We're at war with sin. And we must endure as a good soldier does. And a good soldier doesn't entangle himself in other things that will take away from his primary objective. And that's true for us. We are spiritual soldiers in the fight for Christ, and we must not engage in secular things that takes us away from our primary responsibility, and that is fighting the good fight of faith and seeking ways to promote the kingdom of God. And and we must remember that we're not going to receive a crown unless we compete lawfully, unless we compete according to the rules. He goes on to say, in verse number 15, a passage that's very familiar to most of us who study the Bible, he says, "Be diligent to present yourself approved unto God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." And so we must study. That is the only way that we can grow. We cannot grow in any other way, and we grow in order to rightly divide the word of God. To rightly divide it means to handle it aright. That means to use it in a way that we don't do damage to it by using it in an incorrect way or a way that's unprofitable. There are many people who think they know their Bible, but they don't know how to rightly divide it. They don't know the passages that are directed to us and those that are directed to other people in different dispensations of time, and they don't know there are two covenants, and they don't understand that we live under the new and not in the old. So they have very great difficulty in understanding how to rightly divide the word of God. But one is never going to be able to rightly divide that word unless he spends time and effort in trying to learn God's word and then to apply it in his life. We also see in verse 19 a very powerful and very comforting statement. "Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal, the Lord knows those who are his, and let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity." God knows who's on his side. God knows who is working to secure the kingdom, and he knows those who are faithfully and diligently striving to be a good soldier. And if we're going to be that good soldier, then we must depart from iniquity. That means lawlessness. In chapter number 3, he begins by warning that the perilous times that are going to come. And when these times come, it's going to be exhibited by the attitude of men. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasures rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying his power. From such people turn away. These perilous times were coming in the time at the towards the end of the first century, and these times are still with us today. We still have many people who have these same attitudes that are contrary to God's will, that are enemies of the cross, that seek to destroy rather than to build up, and seek to promote the worldly standard and the worldly criteria instead of promoting the things that are godly. Again, we must not be ignorant, and we must not be naive. This fight is real, and we must stand full shoulder with the Lord and his word and try to lead people to the cross through the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then we see in the last two verses of chapter 3 a very important statement. It says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. It is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. All scripture is given by inspiration. That means it's God-breathed. It is profitable for teaching, for reproving, for correcting what is wrong, and for instruction in righteousness. Why? That we may be equipped to every good work. And so any work that is good is going to be discussed in the scriptures, and it's going to be given to us how we do that good work. And every word of the Bible is inspired. It is breathed by God, and it's God's mind being revealed to men. In the first five verses of chapter number 4, Paul instructs Timothy to preach the word, to be in season, be ready in season, out of season, convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, they will have itching ears, that they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you be watchful in all things, endure affliction, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. You see, we must preach the word in season, out of season. What's that mean? That means when it's convenient, when it's not convenient. Why? Because the time will come, as it has today, that many will not endure sound doctrine. They'll turn their eyes, their ears away from that, and they'll be led into error. Why? Because they don't love the truth. The last thing in 2 Timothy, we have Paul's assurance that even though he's facing death in verses 6 through 8, he does not fear, for he has finished the course, he has kept the faith, and he believes that there is a crown of righteousness laid up for him, and not only for him, but for everyone who loves the Lord's appearing. Are you as confident as Paul? Are you running your race? Do you have the faith? Are you going to finish your course? Are you going to stay focused on the goal, and that is in heaven at the end? We pray and hope that you do, and we pray that we have the character and the attitude of Paul, that we commit everything to the Lord, for we know that it's in good hands. Thank you for listening today. Please come and worship with us. Have a wonderful day.